The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
Got drafted in the NFL, and then one play, one hit, and you fractured your C6, C7. That means you broke your neck.
A career-ending injury was David Pollack's worst nightmare until his wife received a shattering diagnosis.
They came back and said, okay, it's a brain tumor and it's cancerous. And they were like, yeah, this is a grade 2 glioma. It's got to come out. You're going to have brain surgery to remove this.
How Lindsay and David Pollack make every day count. Next.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm Randy Robinson. Belinda Lane joins me as well. How's your day going?
It's going awesome.
Is it
because
counting?
Every day counts. That's why it's going awesome, because my every day counts.
Yeah, she got on to me. She knew where I was going on that one. Every Day Counts is a book that is available now, but it's more than a book. It's the story of David Pollack, and his wife Lindsay joins us as well. You may recognize David from ESPN, or maybe his name on the back of a jersey in Cincinnati or Georgia, or maybe a lot of other great things he does. But you're going to hear the story, not just of David, but of a family. And it's going to, I think, encourage you today. I've been encouraged by
I've been encouraged. And even just getting to talk with you before the show, just what an incredible family and story. And we're so thankful that you've said yes to God in so many ways. So welcome to the show.
Yeah. Thank you.
Great to have
you. Thank you so much for having us.
So for those of, we were chatting a little football before we started.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, I could see some people's eyes glazing over. But
we're not talking about football.
Yeah, no, we're not going to talk about football, but I'd like to talk about you, just so people can understand a little bit of how your life was radically changed. But jump back to how you got to be eventually in the NFL.
Well, I was 4 years old. My brother was 2 years older. And I knew I wanted to play football. Like, I tackled everything on the sidelines. Like, I got in trouble because of the cheerleaders and the water jugs. Like, I hit everything. Like, I knew I wanted to do it. And from when I was 6 years old, I told anybody who would listen, like, I'm going to play in the NFL. Like, that was my goal and my dream. And then, you know, growing up, you hit your hiccups and you hit your, you know, spots that you weren't very good. And you keep pushing and pushing. And then, you know, got drafted in the NFL. And then, you know, drafted by the Cincinnati Bengals, one play, one hit, and it was gone, like just like that. So literally on the field, they take you underneath the stadium. They have the MRI machine, the x-rays, all that stuff there. They take you underneath and it's like, hey, you fractured your C6, C7. And me being a big dumb animal meathead football player, I'm like, cool, what does that mean? I'm out a couple weeks. They're like, that means you broke your neck. I was like, ooh, can we stick to the C6, C7? Because that sounds a lot better than a broken neck.
How difficult was it to have achieved your lifelong dream and have it gone like that?
I think it's difficult for sure, like because that's what you wanted to do. But I think it's fun to watch it now. It's not always fun in the moment, right, to go through something that's really difficult. But, like, you know, God really used it for us because it slowed us down and especially slowed me down. Like, I am ADD all over the place, like energy boy, get in trouble, annoy the mess out of her all the time. Like, and so, like, I had a very transactional relationship with God. Mm-hmm. I talked to God in the morning. I talked to God before meals. And then occasionally if I had time, I'd holler at him. Right. Like, that's kind of how it worked. And so the Bible says, be still and know that I am God. It's the first time that I actually had to be still. Mm. I had the halo, you know, drilled into the skull and 2 years recovery. But I think God used it in a mighty way. I'm a better husband because of it. I'm a better dad because of it. But I think those storms in our lives are going to come, right? It's not if, it's when. To get that at 22 and to get that perspective at 22 has changed the way we lived and how we fought the next battle and the next battle, which obviously keep coming. But it was a very awesome moment to get still and learn, like, hey, my God wants a relationship with me. Right. And when I spend some time with him, it's amazing. You want to hear from God more? Like, talk to him more. It was really enlightening.
So, Lindsay, I'm curious about, here he is, a very public figure, and the dream that he has, you're kind of seeing that be taken away from him. But yet, here you are as his wife and raising the children and that kind of thing. Yet you also, as life went on, experienced a lot of battles.
That's
and
right.
So how has your faith been impacted by watching what he's walked through and also in your own life?
Well, he's been a rock star. Because after he broke his neck and had to leave the NFL, I know it was hard because I'm his wife and we would talk about it. And I know it was hard, but other people wouldn't know it. He handled it with such positivity and such grace and such resilience, and that's a testament to his faith and how strong he was. And that didn't define him. He knew that his only purpose in life wasn't just to be an NFL player. Mm-hmm. And so I got to see that firsthand, which then strengthened my faith because it helped me realize that we have more purpose than just the one thing. Mm-hmm. Whether you're a football player or not, I think his story is very relatable because we all have dreams that go away and we have to learn to move on to the next thing and trust God's plan. And so I think with that, I mean, I absolutely had to learn to surrender more. I'm a control freak. I like to plan out everything from yesterday to 10 years from now. But we learned real quickly, we're not in control. And I had to learn to just let go and let God and trust him with his story, with our family. And like you said, it's not if you're going to go through a storm, it's when. You know, yeah. Jesus tells us this life is going, not if it's going to have trouble, it is going to have troubles. Mm-hmm. But take heart, I'm here with you. And so learning to trust, you know, that he's with us every step of the way, we just had to learn to do that.
Well, we learned that football's a terrible God, too.
Terrible God?
Yeah. Football, an occupation, whatever you do, it's a terrible God. Like, because it is going to be gone at some point. And, like, it happened for us immediately, which was a surprise, which was difficult. But, like, you know, anybody who's gone through something like that, you start to realize, like, my identity and where am I going to put my identity? And there's a bunch of things we talk about with identity in the book, but there's three ways to define identity. It's inside out, which is terrible, because sometimes we walk by the mirror and we're like, oh, I like what I see. And then sometimes you walk by the mirror and you're like, oh, that's an ugly dude, right? Like, it's just the way it works. Y'all don't say dude, but, or you can define identity from outside in, which is what everybody else says about you, which is just as miserable and just as volatile, right? Because some people don't like happy people. Some people don't like sad people. Some people don't like people. Right. Y'all know those people. If you don't, it might be you. But like some people just don't like people. So it's going to be volatile. But like, I think learning to really put your identity in this top down, right? Like, what does God say about us? And so to have your identity of this world stripped away at a young age, it was awesome because it's like, okay, whose am I? Like, I'm loved. I'm created. What was I created for? I thought I was created to play football. Yeah. I was wrong. Like, but that's the way my brain worked, right? And competitiveness. And then you start to realize, oh, wait, like God created me to do this and he created me to do this. And I think it's fun because the art of the possible like opens back up in your life. And so whoever's failed and had those moments, like those are moments that are used because God uses everything for good. Not just the good times, but the bad times are always used to give us something that we haven't had.
Was he legit like this while he's in the hospital and while he's in recovery?
Always.
Always. Like, where does that
come
from?
I'm kind of sensing an opposite attraction.
But where does that come from? You have a mama that prayed or something?
My mama didn't really pray for me. We were not in the church at all. Yeah. We didn't set foot in a church when we were younger. But I've always had a lot of energy and intensity. And now listen, and I've had a lot of competitiveness too. And I'll say this, it's been my greatest strength. It's also been my greatest weakness because it's also got me in plenty of trouble.
But the faith to know that God was working through what seemed like the end of your dream, like where did that come from? Did that grow over time or?
Oh, 100%. Like I came to faith when I was just before my senior year of high school. Okay. And two things happened, and I love to share this because these are two things that anybody can do. It doesn't have to be on the TV station. But like I had a neighbor across the street that asked me to come to a lock-in. I was like, what's a lock-in? They're like, we come to the church and we lock you in. I was like, no, absolutely not. Like, why would I want to go to that? Yeah. And then they said, you get to eat and you get to play sports and stay up all night. I was like, okay, I can get down with that. I'm in. So I got into that. And then I had a teacher in a public school named Mark Watson, and he played praise and worship music. And he had the Jesus sticker on his computer. And I was like, oh, he's one of those Jesus freaks. Yep. And everybody has their spiritual gifts, right? Well, one of mine is being annoying. It's really strong. You can probably feel it. But like, so I had a gift to get in trouble, and Mark handled me with such grace. And I was like, something's different about that dude. And so I say that because, first of all, you don't have to know the scripture inside and out and be a preacher. You can invite somebody to church. Anybody can invite. The preacher can do his job, right? And then the second thing, the most important thing is living a life worth emulating. Mm-hmm. Like, because if somebody watches you and they're like, do they see your fruit? Do they see, like, you are a faith-filled person that's different? Because if they do that, then they're going to want a piece of it, right? Like, Jesus walked this earth and people were like, because he didn't come with clout. He didn't come as a king, right? He came as a peasant, a day worker from Nazareth, right? Like, so nobody was like, oh, man, that's the dude. But the way he carried himself was in a way that people were like, that's different. Like, I want some of that. I want to touch his garment, right? Like, mm-hmm. I want some part of that. And we all have that ability to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so good. It's almost like a peace that resides in you when you know where your identity lies.
No, it takes a lot of pressure off your life. Mm-hmm. Imagine if everybody out there in their marriages took divorce off the table. Mm-hmm. Imagine if you took that off the table. Like, you take the negative off the table and you just say, like, I'm going to be positive. Every situation, like, God's got something for me in this.
We can think of something in our life and go, okay, I'll have the faith to walk through that. But then, Lindsay, mm-hmm. something like a brain tumor, mm-hmm. which is now your life is hanging in the balance, that's something that could really shake your faith, that can really show you what really is inside. And that happened to you. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so in 2019, I started having ear pains. Had no idea what it was, so just went to the doctor like anybody would. Let's figure this out. ENT, chiropractor, they couldn't give me an answer. So they were like, let's do an MRI of your brain. And they do, and lo and behold, there's something that comes back on the image. And they don't know exactly what it is. They labeled it an abnormality, and they're like, okay, we'll just watch it. So 5 years go by, and we're imaging every 6 months, and there's no changes. I'm having no symptoms. And then my last MRI, October of 2024, when they're actually about to release me, okay, if nothing's changed, we're gonna let you go. And it has grown. So they decide, okay, we need to biopsy it and see what we're dealing with. So in December of 2024, they did a biopsy, and we waited weeks, almost a month later, they came back and said, okay, it's a brain tumor and it's cancerous.
Oh, wow.
Which is not at all what we were expecting, because we had nothing to tell us up to that point that that could be what we were dealing with. So it was definitely a shock. He didn't even go with me to the appointment when I found out, because...
You'd had so many good
scans. Yeah, like every time I had mm-hmm. gone, they were like, oh, no news is good news. So they're just taking their time, but we think you're fine. So we met with several oncologists and surgeons, and by the grace of God, we were able to get in with some amazing doctors at Duke University. And they were like, yeah, this is a grade 2 glioma. It's got to come out. You're going to have to have brain surgery to remove this. And it's like, okay, here we go. I mean, I'll never forget. He looked at me, he was like, we're built for this. And he's right. I mean, that's what God has been preparing us through all these ups and downs. So in March of 2025, I had a craniotomy to remove the brain tumor, and thankfully, they got it all.
Which is like across your entire...
Across my head, like a headband. Wow. 6 weeks
of some good photos.
Pretty intense recovery. But, you know, now I take medication like an oral chemo every day. And so, you know, that's one of the miracles, is that back in 2019 when they found it, the only option would have been surgery and then chemo and radiation, mm-hmm. which radiation on your brain... doesn't sound appealing to anyone, I don't think. But because they didn't discover what it was until 2024, there's now a medication that I can take every day for the rest of my life that will keep, because this tumor can grow back, but it will keep it from growing back. So I'm beyond thankful for the timing and that is an option for me. So I take this medication daily, but I don't have any symptoms.
Praise God.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a miracle.
It is a miracle. There's so many things about his timing through my story that is miraculous.
She never once cried. She never once said, why me? In one of the car rides, I'll never forget, she said, I think God chose me for this because he knew I could handle it.
Okay.
Wow. And so I mean, it was like, yeah. I mean, it was hard. Honestly, like breaking your neck, and I think everybody can probably relate to this, like breaking my neck, getting fired, all that stuff, like, it's nothing as bad as when it's your spouse.
Yeah, right.
Like that's infinitely harder, because like there's no control, right? Like you can't control it. And I think how you handle it, like to me, it's like you wrestle, right? And if you wrestle with God and you're one of those people that want to wrestle with God, well, I got bad news. It's just going to be broken hip and dislocated joints and stuff. And it's not going to get you anywhere. And it's like she said earlier, how do you let go and let God? And so I know that like with us, scripture everywhere. Sticky notes on the mirrors, like when we're walking through this stuff, like it's sticky notes next to the bed and just constant reminders. The thing I love most about the Bible is a living, breathing word of God, and it does not change. But here's where the Bible does change. It changes because you're always changing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm not the same person that reads this verse. And so this verse might slap you upside the head, right? And before it didn't mean anything. In Mark 15, 21, the way I memorize scripture is like Mark 15 is Tim Tebow, Deion Sanders 21. That's just the way I memorize scripture.
Of course.
But it says Simon of Cyrene was walking by. And he said his sons Alexander and Rufus were there. And he said he was forced to carry the cross. That scripture has never meant anything to us.
Oh, wow.
That's never meant anything to me. But here's what happens. When you have brain surgery, You know, you're forced to carry a cross. And just like y'all at home have been forced to, you're going to be forced to carry something that you don't want to carry. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest. I wasn't strong enough to carry it. Like, we had some hard days, like eating breakfast at 2 a.m. and her not sleeping. And we had some rough days. But to have other people in your life come in and pick the cross up. Nicholas and Lee are 17 and 15, our kids. They had to help me carry the cross. Mm-hmm. Like, that thing was heavy. Mm-hmm. And so if you know people that are going through things, this I try to always get this across. There's a lot of people that you know that are struggling and they're really, really hurting and something's going and you don't know what to do. Like when people ask us about her, I'm like, I don't know what to tell you. But here's the best advice I can give you. Just do.
Just show up.
Just show up, man. Yeah. Like, yeah. We had so many people that got groceries for us and had them dropped off and cleaned the house and, like, just so many things that, like, and spent time with us. And it just, you don't feel worthy of it, and but you're so thankful for it. And so whoever that is in your life and you know they're going through something, just go do something. Go cut their lawn. You know, go get them groceries. Go do their laundry. Whatever you can to just be a part of it, because that's all they need, right? But they just don't know how to ask. And just like we didn't either.
Yeah. I think the natural question that you said you never ask, which is why me or why this, you know? And I get to the end of the rope on that one and I still don't have a good answer for everyone. But I do know that Christ promised he would walk with us through anything and that's everything. Right. And that's what I hear both of you guys saying.
Oh, yeah.
Is that how you make every day count?
Yeah. I mean, it's not why me, it's yes me. I've been chosen. This is mine. Like, this is mine to do. This is, like, I've been chosen to do, have something very unique. Like, it's not why me, I get to, not have to, right? Like, that's always, it's gotta be the mindset. Like, we get these opportunities to live. And here's the thing, here's why I don't say why me, because if you say why me with my neck, well, then I don't have the ability to understand what people are going through when they're going through hard things. Mm-hmm. Like, what we've been through now together, like, her ministry has started she's talked to two or three people now that have a craniotomies. Hmm. And like, she gets to walk people through. So it's not wasted. It's not why me. God gave that to me for a reason to use it. Like, I know why he gave it to us. He gave it to use it for his glory.
Yeah.
Just like he gave us every other gift. So it's how do we take it and how do we use it? And so I think that it's a different mindset when we flip that and when we use it, because we're not guaranteed anything. Mm-mm. Like, in our Bible studies and in our small groups, we've gotten so much of the, like, why do good things happen to bad people? I'm like, you ain't good.
Yeah.
Like, I got news for you. Like, you ain't good. Like, I am sinful. You are sinful. We are born into sin and we live in a sinful world. So what we deserve is death.
That's right.
So thank you, Jesus, however long we get, right? And so I think what you learn is to make every day count.
Yeah.
Like, I only, right. And that's the main mantra behind the book. Like, if you are driving in a car, as an analogy, if we're always looking out the front windshield and we're always looking to the future, then we're not enjoying where we're at. If we're always looking in the rearview mirror of that thing that happened, that shame, that guilt, that thing I wish I wouldn't have done, that thing that held me back, if we're always looking at there, we're not present. Like, and that's where, like, we're trying to challenge people with the book is to every day to form goals and habits. And so if you're a believer and you're listening to this, like, what is the most important thing in my life? If I say God is the most important thing in my life, do my actions reflect that? Am I selfish in the morning so I can be selfless the rest of the day, right? Am I getting in the word? Am I going to church? Like, those are things that's what people that want to grow are doing. They're meeting and they're pushing themselves. And so I think that's the main premise behind Everyday Counts in the book.
Yeah, very encouraging. I want people to get it. I would like to send you that book, actually. If you will look at a situation right now and make today count, because you're going to see a situation that it's real easy to go, why? What, God, why would you even allow that to happen? But I think if you listen today, you'll see this as the opportunity that it is. And you're the people to rise up and to share God's love in someone's life. Watch this. And you can request that book. But most of all, we want you to make today count, so that someone else can have a tomorrow.
Rural health clinics in Africa serve as a lifeline for children suffering from severe malnutrition. These clinics provide emergency nutritional supplies, therapeutic foods, and life-saving treatments that restore a starving child's strength and saves their life. But there is a crisis today, leaving many clinic shelves bare.
We and showed up at one of the clinics today where we were supposed to be doing screening and handing out for children that are they're in the crisis mode. They're in danger, but they're not hospitalized yet. But unfortunately, there's no aid to give. And so we are desperately needing your help to make sure that the mission feeding can continue on, that we can continue to support these families, these mothers that work so diligently. Can you imagine this mama having to come 45 miles to a clinic hoping to get aid and there be none available? How defeating, how hopeless is that feeling for her, knowing that her baby is days away from dying? We're the ones that have a responsibility to step into the gap and to bring hope and help to these mothers and these children.
With your help, we can provide mission feeding in villages before a mother would need to bring their child to a malnutrition clinic. But for those children in need of emergency care, it is critical that we provide clinics with these nutritional supplements. It could mean the difference between life and death. The time to act is now.
I know that's tough to watch, and Belinda, you know, those clinics, they're necessary. I thank God for them, but yes, it's a hard place to be.
I can't even really imagine what it has taken for them to get there. Means they've probably been without food in their village for a long time. And then, like I said, they walk this really long way to go to what is necessary to keep their child alive, and then they may not even be able to get help.
Yeah, and fortunately, so many have gotten help over the years, but the reality is I've also been in a situation where, you know, children have died at the clinics because it just took them too long to get there. The greatest concern we have right now, as they talked about in that piece, is that we wouldn't have the supplies in place. And when a clinic is a last stop to save a child's life, you've got to have everything you need to make every effort to save that life. Mm-hmm. We need your help. Children's lives are hanging in the balance.
That's right.
That's just the reality of the situation. We do have clinics in many countries. We have workers there who have dedicated their lives to helping people. We have medical professionals in place. They are giving their whole lives. And so, you know, it's a tough situation, but in a sense, it's a little bit of an honor to be able to speak up for them and say to you, the viewer, would you be a part of that? It's a part of our mission feeding program, the clinics being the last stop, unfortunately, for many, but also that place where they do finally get the nutrition they need. The mission feeding program actually goes into the villages before they need to go to the clinic. And that's why mission feeding is so important. Your gift of $30 will help feed three children where they're at for several months. A gift of $50 will help feed five children. $100 will help feed 10. $1,000 would help feed 100. You can see the math there. It will also fund the clinics, which are depleted right now. And there's been a disruption in a lot of global supplies of foodstuffs. And there is a little bit of a disarray going on with global aid and global transportation and things like that. The one consistent thing is our presence through our mission partners all across Africa. But we cannot continue to do it without you. So my hope, my prayer, is that you would say, you know what, I'm going to do what I can. When all of us do what we can, it moves mountains, mountains of hunger, mountains of malnutrition. Let's move those today. We need to hear from you. Please go online, go to the phone. Make the best gift you can.
Right now, across the continent of Africa, children are suffering, facing severe malnutrition and even death, with food reserves critically depleted and many areas experiencing devastating famine. We urgently need to replenish supplies to keep feeding the 350,000 children who are counting on us every single day. Through Life's Mission Feeding Outreach, your gift of love can be an answer to a prayer for a hurting and hungry child in their time of need. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 to help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift, we'll send you the Father's Heart Devotional. Drawing from Scripture and his past, James Robison takes you on a 90-day journey to help you experience a deeper, more personal relationship with God as your loving Father. With your gift of $100 or more, you will receive the Father's Heart Bundle. This stationery set, paired with the devotional, is a thoughtfully designed collection created to help you share encouragement, prayer, and the love of our Heavenly Father with those you care about. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more, which will help feed 100 children in desperate need, request life's beautiful bronze sculpture, the Good Shepherd. So please call, write, or make your gift online today.
The reason the food's there is because people like you didn't change channels, didn't look away, didn't think only of yourself. You said, I can feed 3 or 5 or 10. That's the reason that we're able to keep feeding. That's the reason we're feeding now in many areas at schools instead of refugee camps where they're dying. We're also meeting the crisis need. But we're doing this now because we're giving the children health for the future. And I want to thank you from the depth of my heart for not just channel surfing, going on, or turning away. And I'm asking you today to respond right now. And you dial that telephone number, you go online and say, I'm going to care. If you can care for 10, there are a lot more than 10 here. $1,000 would care for 100 for the next few months. But $100 will care for 10, $50 will care for 5, and $30 will care for 3. So please, don't sit there and watch. You can thank God for what you're seeing. But let's make it possible for people to thank God for what you did. I thank God, and I thank you.
I do hope you will make today count. Go online, go to the phone, make the best gift you can. This is a great book, and I want people to request this when they join Mission Feeding today.
Every day counts. Yeah. I love what it says here. Start where you are, use what you have, do what you can.
That's it.
Awesome.
All right, David, Lindsay, appreciate both you guys.
Thank you for coming.
You got a couple of podcasts for people that want to maybe follow up with you guys. What are those?
Well, if you're a football fan, See Ball, Get Ball, and then Family Goals is with my pastor. We started in the closet of the church and never assumed it would ever be listened to except through the church. And it's been kind of cool because God's used it. But just like how to set family goals and go through scripture and just implement things in your lives.
Well, they'll just have to tune into that. We appreciate you guys being here.
Thank you. Absolutely.
Thanks for having us.
Appreciate all you guys being here. Be sure to tune in next time here on Life Today.
Way too many people live by the mantra that the world would be a better place if everybody else just changed.
How to work with complicated people.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.